Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to a sustainability presentation from April 2017. Ms. Karin Ekberg, CEO, Leadership and Sustainability, presents the SAC HIC Index.
Good afternoon and welcome to this presentation about the SAC Sustainable Apparel Coalition and the HIC Index. My name is Karin Ekberg and I'm the manager of the consulting company Leadership and Sustainability. Before I started my own company, I worked several years at Adidas in the role of Head of Environmental Services. And before that, I have worked at other companies as well. And I have been involved with the SAC and the development of the HIC Index and the organization for many years, even since the beginning, among others as the chair of the board. And my company is also a member of SAC. And by the way, I'm sending around an attendee list. If you would like to add your name and contact details or put a business card into the plastic folder, you can also take one of my business cards if you wish. Today we will focus on the SAC HIC Index, and we will talk about how you can use the HIC Index in your company if you are a brand, a retailer, or a manufacturer. And I will give you an introduction to the SAC and then an overview of the HIC Index. And after that, we will look at step by step how the HIC tools fit into your strategy and into your programs. So we will look at corporate level, at brand and retailer level, look at materiality and strategy. We will talk about the supply chain. We will talk about products and materials as well as reporting. And towards the end of the presentation, we will have time also for a discussion. And finally, I have some information about my company for you. But let's begin with the introduction. The SAC focuses on the apparel, footwear, and home textiles industries. And they have defined a vision that you can see here to produce no unnecessary environmental harm and to create a positive impact for the people and the communities. The SAC has a lot of different stakeholders and also different member groups, and you can see them here. So you have brands, you have retailers as members, manufacturers, governmental organizations, NGOs, service providers. And SAC is actually today the largest sustainability-related organization in this sector and is growing fast. And you can see here lots of the members, perhaps not all, but you see that we have a huge number of members within the SAC. It's actually going towards a number of 200 by now. SAC focuses on developing tools, support the adoption of tools, and enable transparency of results. And so far, most of the tools that SAC has developed have been assessment tools. And they also make available the results of the assessment within the membership community, but also anonymized. So it's not that all companies are being transparent about all the results within all their tools yet. But that time will come. And here you can see an overview of the HIC Index suite of tools. There are mainly three groups of tools. The first one is the brand and retailer module, and that is a module that works at the corporate level. Then we have the facility module, focusing on the manufacturing entities, the production entities. And then we have the product tools that, of course, then focus on the product side, at the product level. And SAC has, from the very beginning, worked along the value chain. So their approach is to take a life cycle approach and work along the value chain. So you can see a representation here of a life cycle and where the different tools fit in. So for example, for raw materials, the MSI, the Material Sustainability Index, is the tool that is used. For facilities, you have the facilities environmental module, and you have the facilities social module, etc. And I will speak a bit more and more in detail about these tools a bit later. But first, I have now given you an introduction and an overview, and now I also would like to put those tools into the context of your organization. So it's my objective to give you examples of how these tools fit into your programs and into your strategies. And let's begin at the corporate level with materiality and strategy. So at a very high level, if you wish to define, implement, and follow up on a sustainability strategy, here are five phases that you go through. So you explore the need for a strategy. Do you really want a strategy? Do you need a strategy? And you take a decision to develop a sustainability strategy. And then it's not that you can just begin defining goals or defining the strategy. You actually need to orient yourself in the map of your organization. So you need to identify which sustainability aspects that are really material and that are really important for your business. And after that, you can develop the strategy, including business cases. In my view, business cases are really important to have for your strategy as far as possible. It's not always possible to quantify all business cases, but it's very important to have an understanding of the business case, the overall business case for your sustainability strategy. You develop an implementation plan and you implement, and finally you follow up on your goals and measure your progress against your goals and you report. Now, it's very helpful to use a structure when you develop your strategy and assess your material aspects as well. And I usually recommend to work along the value chain, exactly like I mentioned that SAC is doing. And this is quite a detailed representation of the value chain. And of course, it may look different for different companies. So every company needs to, or organization needs to, define your own value chain. And at the top of the slide, you see the overarching management processes. And then you have the business processes, where the products or services are actually created, distributed, and sold. And below that, we have the support processes like communication, HR, finance, and IT. And once you have your value chain and your processes mapped, you can begin to identify which sustainability aspects that are material to your business. And of course, you also need to know which sustainability aspects that you should include into your assessment. And we all know there is a range of different initiatives and organizations out there suggesting different sets of aspects. And on the left-hand side, you can see a few of them. So for example, what is really coming up more and more, what we see also in this sector, is that the SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals, are being used when assessing aspects and also when developing a strategy. But as you can see, there are many others. And on the right-hand side, you see a few examples of detailed sustainability aspects. You may also have stakeholders who are asking you about specific topics, like we heard today so many times about biodegradability. Or your stakeholders may even be shouting some topics to you. Perhaps you don't want to hear really, but they are still shouting. So anyway, you see there is a lot of different possibilities for you, and you need to have a clear view on which aspects you want to include. And once you have your value chain, you have identified your sustainability aspects that you want to analyze, you can begin with your assessment. And here we see a simplified version of a comprehensive assessment matrix. So if you want to go into detail, you can work in a very comprehensive assessment matrix. I usually work in Excel when I conduct materiality assessments. And here we see a simplified form. At the top of the slide, again, we see the value chain, now somewhat condensed. And then on the left-hand side, we see the different sustainability aspects at a bit of a higher levels. You can imagine that you need to drill down into each of these aspects even more into detail. And now you have the structure, you can begin to assess where you have material aspects. So you look at status, what is in place, what is not in place. You look at impact, and you looked at financial, legal, and operational risks and opportunities. So this is quite a comprehensive assessment that you can do. And then you can work with different methods. You can make a brainstorming, for example, internally with your teams. You can hold a workshop. You can also create a questionnaire and conduct a stakeholder engagement, getting input from external, perhaps also from internal stakeholders. You can use footprinting as a tool. You can use life cycle assessments. And then you pull the results into a table like this, and then value the results on a scale that you have predefined. And that scale can be different. I usually work with a scale 1 to 3. You can work with a scale 1 to 5. And you have then, also to define what does every level mean to you. And of course, the ultimate goal with this is to define the aspects that you need to focus on. If it's a risk, if it's an opportunity, if it's an impact, but the ones that you want to focus on. So in this example here, the dark orange color indicates a significant potential. So it could be a significant risk, could be a significant opportunity or a significant impact. So now you have your assessment done. You can also use the SAC brand and retailer module to assess yourself. You can take all of the questions in the brand module or take a few of them. So in the brand module, there is the environmental piece, the environmental part, and the social part. And some of the questions, just to give you an idea of what the content looks like here, in the brand environmental module, a few questions are, does a brand have an internal metrics to assess their product teams if they contribute to sustainable development and continuous improvement? Does brand have a published list of suppliers? Does brand have a chemicals management program that covers both manufacturing and the end product? And does brand have metrics and documentation of their impacts in the production? So those are just a few examples. You can, of course, also benchmark yourself with other companies with the help of the brand module questions. And we have actually done a study together with one customer of ours, where we used both the environmental module and the social module, and basically 95% of the questions. And we did a benchmarking of several brands. And we will be speaking actually at the outdoor in June, the outdoor in Friedrichshafen, about the results of this study, if you're interested. So the brand and brand modules are both self-assessment tools. And this is also a general approach that SAC has chosen, to use self-assessment tools. On top of that, they also offer verification services, and you can have service providers also verifying the results that you have. The brand and retail module will be revised, and the work to revise those modules have just kicked off. So now you have your assessment, you have your benchmarking potentially, and now is the time to begin to develop your sustainability strategy and your programs. And let's have a look at what leaders do when in relation to strategy development. On this slide here, we have the results, or a few results, from a McKinsey study. And the questions were designed to differentiate between what sustainability leaders do and what others don't do. So on the left-hand side, you can see a few statements, and on the right-hand side, you see the responses. And so the blue bars, they show what the group of sustainability leaders said, the percentage of the sustainability leaders, and the green bars show the percentage of the rest of the respondents. And you can see here there is a very significant difference between those two groups. And also the orange number gives you the factor, the difference. So, for example, nearly five times as many in the group of sustainability leaders set aggressive targets and goals than the other groups. And if we look at the last example, the financial benefits of sustainability are clearly understood across the organization. 51% of the leaders said yes, but only 18% of the other respondents said yes. So we can see there is a huge gap when it comes to understanding the financial benefit. And just to be clear here, I am convinced that you need to work with sustainability, and I'm sure that you are too. And it should be a conviction to work with sustainability within a company, but the financial measures are very important as well. And it's really great to see the connection between there. And there is very often a connection. You can save energy, for example, and with that you can also save money. Some sustainability efforts cost money as well, but then you can create a balance there. So now you can begin to drill down into your programs and define your goals and your programs. And in this illustration here, you can see a few examples of program elements. So beware, this is not a complete strategy, and very far from it. It's just an example. And again, we see our value chain, and on the left-hand side, our sustainability aspects, and then you see a few program elements. So for example, you can decide to implement an ISO 14001 and an environmental management system, and then that system will probably encompass all your business processes, all your processes within the company. So you see that correspondingly marked up. But you may also have an energy program that perhaps just focuses on a few areas in the business where it makes most sense, etc. So this gives you a good structure again to see where your different programs are located, so to say, in the organization. And obviously, you can then, when you build your organizational structure and your governance structure for the strategy, you can use that same approach as a sorting structure. So that was more of the brand level. And let's move now to the supply chain. And this illustration shows a typical supply chain in this sector, and or a part of it, let's say, because you can imagine how complex it can get. And very few companies work with only, let's say, five suppliers in tier one. Mostly we have 100 times as many. And so it can get really, really complex, and it's really, really a network of in the supply chain. And now imagine that you don't source directly with manufacturers, but that you source with agents. Then it gets even more complicated. You have then the agents between your own company and the actual manufacturing entities. So you may not have any visibility at all of the manufacturing entities, which means you are not even seeing the tip of the iceberg. So to manage the supply chain well for sustainability is an immense challenge for most brands. And some of the challenges are related to risk management again. If you want to manage your environmental risks, for example, in this sector, usually you need to go further than just to your tier one. And that's sometimes very difficult. And then we also have different standards. We have lots of different organizations that have developed their standards. And we have SAC with the HIG index that we are just talking about. We also have the CETIHC, the Zero Discharge of Hazardous Chemicals Program. We have the Fairware Foundation. We have Fair Labor Association, GSCP, etc. So it's tough to know what do those different standards contain and how can I use them at best. We are happy to know that this sector actually is quite good at collaborating, and there has been a long way done already in terms of collaboration in the industry. And for example, SAC and Zero Discharge of Hazardous Chemicals, the CETIHC, they are working together and making sure that their tools are compatible with each other. Another challenge that you may have is that the supply chain may be quite fast moving. If you are changing suppliers all the time, how do you want to manage sustainability to ensure a good sustainability level? And of course, that's not always the problem, but for some companies, certainly it is a problem. Then we also have the problem that you most often are not the only buyer at a supplier. Most often you have several buyers buying at one supplier. And if those buyers all have different programs that they operate against for sustainability, what will happen? They will conduct different audits. All of them will conduct their audit at the suppliers. The supplier will get a lot of time investment into audits. But perhaps even worse, the suppliers may get different remediation programs depending on where the brands who are auditing are actually directing. So this is really a huge issue. It leads to audit fatigue, and of course it leads to a difficult situation for the manufacturer when they need to improve their situation. What should they focus on? Should they try to serve this brand or this other brand? And here really SAC is doing a great service, because the utmost, benefit of SAC is really the collaboration and the harmonization of tools. We really need to harmonize tools in the sector. And then a few other challenges, of course, technical complexity for the sustainability professionals to understand the manufacturing processes well enough to really assess them and really give good advice for improvements. It's not always so easy. We know how complex the manufacturing can be. New technologies coming up very often as well. And finally, one point that I think is really important, and that is we don't have only, let's say, environment or labor compliance to manage in the supply chain. We have many other aspects as well. We have quality, we have health and safety. And how do you do that in a concerted manner? And this is where I think that you need to integrate the aspects. You need to try to work with a good management approach. And now, in order to assess your supply chain, you can actually use the same approach as we did at a corporate level. So just instead of having the entire value chain at the top of this assessment matrix, you decide which supplier groups and which tiers of the supplier groups that you want to focus on. And accordingly, you can then make the similar assessment as you did at a corporate level. So you can use that approach, that method, over and over again. And when you develop your specifically supply chain strategy as a portion of your sustainability strategy, there are of course many different layers in this supply chain strategy that you need to take care of. But we will only speak about one piece here, and that's the SAC's facilities environmental module and the facilities social module. So specifically for the manufacturing sites, there are those two modules soon available, I would say. The facilities environmental module, the version 3.0 is in its finalization and will be published towards the end of the year. But in the meantime, you have the facilities environmental module 2.0 that you can work with. On the social and labor side, there is a convergence group working together with many other organizations in the industry. And that module will be finished by the beginning of next year. And then both modules will be available. And both of them are, again, self-assessment tools. So the manufacturers, they take the tools, respond to the questions. Now they can do that online as well. And then they get a scoring out of that. On top of that, SAC has a scheme with a verification. So you can also send third-party service providers to verify the results, either desktop, I'm not sure how effective that is, or on-site. And so then you can have the third-party service providers coming on-site and verifying all the responses from the manufacturer. And the FEM, the Facility Environmental Module 3.0, was tested until end of March. It was tested in a so-called pressure test, where we focused on water management, on wastewater, and on chemicals. And I participated in one verification test together with one customer of mine. It was a really interesting experience. And I really hope that the FEM, the final FEM 3.0, will be valuable for both brands and for retailers, and that we will have many companies that use them. So now let's move over to the product and material side. So what are the most important strategic decisions that you need to take at a product material side? So at a higher level again, we have some listed here. You need to assess the fabrics used, and you need to learn how to select preferable fabrics. Product indexing, and also then go drilling into even more detail. We have footprinting and life cycle assessments. And the SAC has offered one tool at the materials level, and that's the MSI, the Material Sustainability Index. And you see one portion here of it. So on the left-hand side, you can see the different groups of materials that you can choose among. And in this case, textiles has been selected. And on the right-hand side, you see the materials library, then for textile. And you also see the impact. And for the MSI, the lower the number, the lower the impact is. So the lower the number, the lower the impact, the better it is. So here are just a few examples of the results for a few different materials. I need to say here also that the MSI builds on LCA data, on life cycle assessment data. So it is quite scientific in that sense. But then, in order to have one score, you see here we get only one score, there is a weighting done with the different impact categories. And if you do a rigorous life cycle assessment, usually you don't weight between the impact categories. You have the different impact categories and their results separately, so to say. And in this case, SAC has decided to weight the different impact categories equally. So all of them have like 20%. There are five impact categories. All of them have 20%. They have an equal portion. And we know that this is scientifically not correct. So just beware that that is the way that they have done that. Of course, with the benefit of then having one number at the end, which was the goal. And the product life cycle, again, when we look at the designer has quite a significant influence, different in different companies, depending on which decisions the designer actually takes. It can be smaller or larger, but of course, selecting fabrics, selecting patterns and how the patterns are used, Very often finishes are selected by designers. There may be other aspects that that are selected by the designers. So they have a really significant impact and can influence a lot. So now, once we have identified that a designer has an influence, how do we do that? So SAC has, for that purpose, developed the DDM, the Design and Development Module. And it consists of the five different segments that you can see down here: materials, manufacturing, care and repair, etc. And I want to show you what this can look like now. So here you have a few products compared with each other. And you see on the right-hand side again, you see again the similar impact illustration as we had with the MSI. So again, the lower the number, the lower the impact, the better. And the DDM, I need to say that as well, the DDM is quite a simple tool. It builds on the MSI, which has the LCA data in there. But beyond that, there are a few simple questions differentiating for the scores. So it's quite a practical tool. It's also quite easy to use once you get accustomed to it. And of course, that's also the goal. You can't have a too complex tool, because then you will spend hours and hours for each and every product you want to score. And here you see a few more products and their results. You can also, in the tool, drill down into the different segments of the assessment. So for example, for these three products here, you can see now what the results for materials were, and then what the results for manufacturing, care and repair, etc. were. So you can really go into detail and make a comparison between your different products. The last project to speak about related to SAC, that's the PEF, the Product Environmental Footprinting Initiative. And this initiative has been managed by the European Union and driven by them now for a few years. And the pilot project has been also taking a few years, is now going to its finalization. And here we are really talking about footprinting. So, and SAC has been involved with the non-leather footwear. There are many other product categories and products that have been part of this pilot as well. We are working here with LCA methodology, but using some simplification and prioritization. So for each and every product group, a working group has identified the methodology and also prioritized which impact categories that are really most important for this particular product. So you may not have all impact categories included for every product, but the ones that are substantial and are relevant should be included. And with that, we move over to reporting. So the ultimate goal of the PEF project by the European Union is really to have like a label that you can put on the product or on your website that gives the consumer the ability or the possibility to choose which products they want to buy based on this. And here you see an example with the scores going from A to E, A being the best, and in this case there is the label for B. And so this pilot, as I said, is running to its end now, and they are now evaluating the results. And then we will see what the decision is by the European Union, how they want to move forward with this. So potentially this can be something mandatory to do, or it can be something voluntary to do. So we will see how that goes. And with that, I want to open up the floor for a discussion and for questions.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other presentations, go to performancedays.com. Copyright April 2017 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.